T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To be the guy that resurrected that dormant giant? Now, Barkley went out of his way to say, and I can see why he would say it, that guys like Kyrie and KD, they would also be eaten alive if they went to a place like New York. And these guys are already uber sensitive. I mean, we're hearing rumors today that Kyrie is leaving Boston because he hated not just the city, he hated Stevens, he hated Ainge, he hated everything. He hated LeBron when he was in Cleveland. This guy's, hey, hater, hater's going to hate. No, but he's just, you know, he didn't like it. And that's fine if he doesn't like Boston. Maybe wherever he goes next, he'll really love. He's a great player. But, I mean, if you hate Boston, you're going to love New York? I don't know. I personally like New York better than Boston, but, you know, that's just me. So I just think I can see the intrigue of being the toast of New York. You know, it's like what Mark Davis thinks of Vegas. I'm not a fan of Vegas. Vegas has nothing for me. Nothing. If I want to gamble and go to Tahoe, I'll use an app. If you want to be naughty, you can be naughty in Pinole if you feel like it. You don't have to get on a plane to be naughty. I don't know. I don't understand Vegas. I've been there 3 times. I don't ever need to go back for the rest of my life. But to Mark Davis, he wants to be the Prince of Vegas. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, radio.com sports station. Sale ends January 1st. Visa and MasterCard are accepted. He wants to be the Prince Valiant of Vegas because he thinks Vegas is the bomb. That's his jam. That's his spot. He can go to Vegas and he'll be carried in a sedan chair down the strip by eunuchs, castrated. That's redundant. Feeding him grapes, seedless, as he goes past the Bellagio. And as Evil Knievel the Ninth flies a Yamasaki or a Honda. Ducati, something, a motorcycle. Why don't I just say motorcycle? Over his head. That's what he wants. He wants people to fawn all over him. And it does fit. He's already got Nero's lid. But for me, I don't think Vegas is worth a damn. I think Vegas is a friggin' stinky, stupid hellhole. But I love Manhattan. And I've said this before, and people get on the text line going, oh, New York sucks, it's dirty, it stinks, and blah. Oh, yeah, it's dirty. I'd rather ride that subway than BART any day, though. BART, the home of the mentally ill, God bless them. But I would much rather play for the Knicks. Now, you know, the only thing I think that helps, if KD does want to stay, is that, once again, the Warriors lost. Remember, he wasn't going to join if the Warriors had won in 16 and they had gone back-to-back. He had said that himself. But I do think it's in his best interest, obviously, to do a sign-and-trade. And it's not just to be magnanimous and to give the Warriors some compensation. That would be one of the biggest win-wins of all time. He gets 57 more million. Now, you might say, well, how many millions do you need? It's not how much do you need. It's what you're leaving behind. We saw LaMarcus Aldridge leave money behind in Portland to be a Spur. We saw Gordon Hayward leave money behind in Salt Lake City to be a Celtic. Some guys feel like, well, I do have enough money. KD took a price break before to keep Iguodala and Livingston. Thank you for that. 2 more rings, which was great. Or 1 more ring. And that was fine. That was great. But remember, he also said, and maybe this is Rich Kleiman talking, he said, I just want to stack up money. I don't care how rich you are. If you can get 57 more million dollars, that would be pretty dumb not to take it. That's an extra private island and an extra group of assassins and hitmen that you can hire. What is he talking about? I'm just playing. Thinking of Dr. No. You could have a Dr. No island. You could have a man with a golden gun type of thing. That is very intriguing. So to answer your question, Gene, and it only took me 45 minutes to answer your question, I completely see why he would want to go to the Knicks. I get it. He's done everything he needs to do out here. Kevin Durant has nothing to prove to anyone. He doesn't need to prove anything to Stephen A. Smith. I need KD to walk over hot coals and broken glass before I... There's a certain point in your life, and it's a good point when you can get to it, and when you don't have anything you need to prove to anybody anymore. It's a pretty cool feeling when you get to that, and you're like, oh, let me try to impress you. KD is at that point in his life. He doesn't have to impress anybody. As he said himself, he said it out loud, really more for him than us, I'm Kevin Durant. Because remember, first game against the Clips, second game against the Clips, he gets thrown out of one, he gets fouled out of another, and then it's like, oh, Beverly's getting in your dome, y'all. You can't take it. He's like, I can't take it. Hold on, let me look at my driver's license. Oh, yeah, it doesn't say Al Lipschitz. It says Kevin Durant. And so, like I said, if he can be the guy to bring the Knicks back, that would be cool. Now, he also might really like it here. People talking about, well, there was a T-shirt that said he'd be in San Francisco. Well, you got to go with a T-shirt. That's like Moses coming down with the Ten Commandments. I mean, that's even better than being engraved on the Rosetta Stone. Let us translate what that means. Let's see. Greek, Sanskrit, hieroglyphics. Oh, then he's going. The T-shirt said it. So he's going for sure. 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. 415 says, yeah, Rick, but if Rich Kleiman thinks this is his way to become the GM, then decisions are likely already made. Well, are you talking about the Knicks? He's obviously not going to be the GM here. That would be pretty weird. And we know that Bob Myers was an agent before he was a GM. The thing is, there's not one person on the face of the earth that heard of Bob Myers as a GM. He wasn't a high-profile guy anyway. It's not like in New York with the Mets where Brody Van Wagenen, remember, he was the guy who said that Major League Baseball was murdering its fans by not signing some of his players. I mean, talk about just hyperbole and hyperbole. And then they make him GM of the Mets. That's great. All right, this is just right off the presses. Per Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, the Lakers have received permission from Golden State to talk to Ron Adams about a role on Frank Vogel's staff. According to ESPN, it's unclear Adams' level of interest, but Lakers could make case of a more compelling, significant financial offer. That would be a big deal for Frank Vogel. German for bird, Vogel. It would be, obviously he's the defensive specialist, but if he left, I'm not going to act like it's the end of the world. It's all about talent, and a lot of times the head coach. In New England, it seemed time and again, oh no, Romeo Crennel's leaving. Bill O'Brien's leaving. Josh McDaniel's leaving. Charlie Weiss is leaving. It just goes on and on, all these coordinators, and they don't mean a damn if you have Brady and you have Belichick. And I love Ron Adams, but it was sort of like, oh, what are we going to do without Luke Walton? What are we going to do without Alvin Gentry? We're going to be fine. I remember when the A's missed the playoffs in 15, people were saying, oh, they really missed Chip Hale. Look, I love Chip Hale. Actually, I found out at FanFest we're the same age, and I wondered when I played baseball for Salesian, I don't think we ever played Campo. We talked about that, and he's like, yeah, I don't remember playing Salesian. He was a big star at Campo Lindo. But I bless Chip Hale, who went on to become the D-backs manager at the time. That's when La Russa and Dave Stewart were running things down there in Phoenix. But they're fine without Chip Hale. So, and the other thing is, too, is per Woj, they have received permission. Now, the Warriors could have said no, but there's sort of a gentleman's agreement that if you have a chance to better yourself, you're supposed to let that guy go. You know, it's not like the situation with the Texans trying to get the young guy from New England and all the hate and the tampering going on there. Now, if the Warriors had every right to say no, but I have a feeling, and this is just me because I said I just read this right now, that my producer just put on the screen, this report. I think what it is they'll let him talk to the Lakers, and then they'll come back and two things will happen. This is if Ron even wants to go. That's if he wants to go. But if he does want to interview, he'll come back and he'll say, they offered me this. If you can match it, I'll just stay. And the Warriors would have no problem matching it and giving him a raise. The other thing is Rod Adams comes back and says, it's always been my dream. The Lakers are my favorite team since I was 2 years old. LeBron James coaching him is something I always wanted to do. I grew a unibrow myself just because I love Davis that much. And they'll go, all right, go ahead and go. It'll be all right. It's like, what were the Warriors going to do after Mark Jackson left? Remember, he was the guy that got them to play defense. You know, and they went to the playoffs and they won a series. Well, I can't believe it. Oh, another guy that's never coached, Steve Kerr. It's about the horses. If you have the talent, you're going to be fine. But as I said, you can tell we're in the off season when that's a headline right now. Ron Adams is, now I don't want to undersell Ron Adams. He's a very, very, very important part of that coaching staff. He is the defensive guy. And we know that when the Warriors won championships, everybody talks about Splash Brothers and things like that, but their defense was outstanding. It was always top five, when they're winning championships. So I hope he stays. But I'm not going to cry myself to sleep in the fetal position if he leaves. I do that every night anyway. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Rick, is it really, this is from the 408. Rick, is it really tanking if we're developing our young guys by playing them more and keeping Steph, Dre fresh while waiting for KD and Clay for 2021? Look, the young guys are going to play if they get if they deserve to have playing time. Do you really think that Steph Curry and Draymond Green and one fan who's paying for a ticket is going to be content to see Curry get 18 minutes while Dick Gazinia and Dick Hertz go out there on a veteran minimum and play 32 minutes? No, that's not tanking. That's just stupid. You can't even tank. When there is a lottery, you can't tank. The tanking is foolproof. Because look at the lottery picks. A lot of those guys aren't even worth the time of day, and they were lottery picks. And I got nothing against these teenagers. They're all teenagers. And when they get their braces off, I hope that they're good NBA players. But you're going to sit there for a year and buy a ticket and drive down to Hell's Creation, Pier 88, whatever it is. You're going to drive down there, and you are going to watch Steph Curry sit on the bench to keep him fresh for 2021. Once again, this is how a vampire thinks. Someone who's going to live forever. I'm sorry. That just makes zero sense to me. Especially when the young guys might be lousy as well. You can still develop. You don't need all that time. But here's the thing. You're going to see the Warriors try to win. And you're going to see the young guys play a lot. That's what I think. Now, that's what we heard about Jacob Evans. It's like, oh, this guy's going to play. He's going to play. And turned out, well, he wasn't ready. This time, these guys might play whether they're ready or not. Here we come on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's Rick Tittle.
All right, thank you for that. And thank you for spending some of your Saturday afternoon with us on 95.7 The Game. Rick Tittle with you, taking you up until 5 o'clock all the way. 888-957-9570 is the number to call, toll free. And if you'd like to shoot me a text, we have the Chilton Auto Body text line. That is at 95795. Always good to catch up with a guy who has worked in this town, I think even longer than I have, and that's Steve Kroner, was with KPIX out of Cal, a guy who's been with the Chronicle. He's been all over the place. And, Steve, I understand you're on the links today.
Thankfully, I'm off them now, Rick. And yes, I'm really old, is what you're trying to say. But, it was a beautiful day to play golf here at Cobb Mountain, but my golf was not beautiful. Let's put it that way.
All right, fair enough. The most of the NBA pundits and critics look at the Warriors' first round pick, and they kind of raise their hands and say, "What the hell? He was sitting in the stands with his parents, and he doesn't really play any defense, and he's streaky. I think the Warriors weren't trying to get cute and outthink the scouts. I just think they thought, okay, who's the best three-point shooter left that's around 6'5", and that's the guy.
Yeah, my thoughts for whatever they're worth is I don't purport to know more than the Warriors front office folks do at who's the best, the 28th best player who fits into their system better than they do. So, I mean, is Jordan Poole the guy for them? Possibly, maybe not, but I think it's certainly premature at the very least to criticize the deal before he plays a game or even before he has his introductory news conference.
Well, and we know with and listen, you're picking at the end of the round, and I try to say if you're looking at two rounds of a draft, think about it as seven rounds of a football draft. If you only get 60 picks, they're basically picking at the end of the third round right there. So, and then you think about the times in the playoffs when they needed a Yurebko 3. Well, I'd rather have this kid full of confidence, doesn't know any better, go out there and trying to ball. Why not?
I absolutely agree. And again, there's no guarantee. I mean, I believe he shot 37% from three in college, which is solid, but it's not great. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantee he's going to be a great three-point shooter with the Warriors, but I certainly think there's a possibility he will be a better-than-average three-point shooter. And without Klay Thompson, they need a better-than-average three-point shooter.
And I think this could end up like 2012, where we ended up liking Dre in the second round better than Barnes and Azealia in the first, because Eric Paschal, that's no mystery. We all know him. We all saw him. It's like a UFO sighting for a 22-year-old senior to get drafted these days. But a champion, basically the same build as Draymond, with a better shot coming out of college than Dre did, a positionless guy in the positionless NBA. And you think, well, they need scoring. He just was, I think, too good to pass up at 41 overall.
Yeah, and again, I think to echo your point, Rick, a little bit, I think he's a guy who has won, and he seems to be, for want of a better term, a good basketball player. Mm-hmm. I hate the terms a lot of times, the 3-and-D guy. He could be a 3-and-D guy, but he's just a guy who's a good player. He rebounds. He seems to know, you know, where he's supposed to be on the floor. You come from a team that won the national championship 1 year and got into the tournament again this season. I think there's something to be said for that as well. I was wondering at the news conference if he'll mention to Poole about the championship game 2 years ago.
Yes, I was nominated for an ESPY. By the way, that press conference will be, I believe we'll carry it here. That's going to be on Monday.
Correct.
I was just talking to your colleague at the Chronicle, Scott Osler, and he was really intrigued with Bol Bol, and I was kind of just in my heart, because we loved Manute so much, and Manute was 7'7". His son is only 7'2", and he had to wait a long time. What are your thoughts about passing on Bol Bol? Did you care? Does it haunt you, or you think it's the right thing to do?
There are a lot of things that haunt me in my life, Rick, but the Warriors passing on Bol Bol does not haunt me.
Well, I know one of them, Cal and the Rose Bowl.
You're absolutely right. I hate to give my age away, but Cal has not been to the Rose Bowl in my lifetime, and I am one of the oldest people who can say that. But back to Bol Bol, if you saw his first nine games, his only nine games this season, you'd say, hey, that would be somebody I certainly would consider taking at 28. But again, too, he's coming off a very serious injury. He hasn't played very much. I think to again use the phrase, there's a lot of upside, but there's a lot of question marks too. So the fact that the Warriors didn't take him at 28, I don't think is necessarily worthy of any criticism at all.
The other thing is too, this is the first time in 6 years where we're really scrutinizing picks, because in the past, you know, Jacob Evans, won't he be lucky to be on the team and maybe get a ring? We don't need him. Kind of need guys now, so it's much more intriguing.
Right, and I think many more people have opinions when, you know, like you say, the past 2 or 3 years, Jacob Evans, Jordan Bell, when they got in a deal, all those guys, in a sense, were going to be complementary at best. Now, these guys still aren't going to be the featured players for the Warriors, even with out Durant one way or the other, and without Klay Thompson for a considerable amount of time. But they are going to be expected to be contributors, I would think, this season and going forward.
Speaking with Steve Kroner of the Chronicle, his nickname, Steve the Danish Kroner. I think only I call you that.
Yeah. I'm not the only. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Norwegian.
Okay, that's right. There's a Norwegian Kroner as well.
Yeah.
The KD situation with the sign and trade would be one of the most no-brainer win-wins of all time. He gets $57 million more. He'll pick his team that the Warriors will deal with, and then the Warriors don't end up empty-handed. Now, that would mean he'd have to stick around for a little bit longer and do his rehab here in San Francisco. But your thoughts on that proposition?
Again, Rick, I hate to echo you, but I echo you. It seems like it's a win-win, no-lose situation. Now, again, too, who's to say that Durant – I mean, he still seemingly is playing this very close to the vest, and I don't blame him. But who's to say he doesn't want to stay with the Warriors? I don't think any of us really knows that. But if he doesn't, certainly that's a better deal for the Warriors and for him than it would be for him to get less money and for the Warriors to get nothing. So, yeah, it's hard to argue that.
Did you know the term drip before the draft?
Yeah, because I have had to get the plumber to come, and so we've had a drip in our faucet for a long time. But in terms of swag drip,
yeah.
I did not know of that.
Yeah, I didn't either. I learned a new word. I watched all 5 hours of the draft, and you can call me a loser if you want. The Warriors were active, and I say we as a lifelong fan, we need bodies. So I was really involved. Anything in the draft stick out to you one way or another? And I'll preface this by telling you one thing that I'm sick of, and it's been going on too long, and that is the quote-unquote proposed trade. So you go out, you put on a hat of the team that drafts you that you'll never play 1 minute for, and then you got to wait a week to put on the other hat. The timing of it, to me, seems completely screwed up. I think this...
Yeah, I mean... The NBA, which for the most part really does a great job of promoting itself, and I say that as an admirable trait, it's a terrible look for the NBA. I mean, it's just like, okay, I know this is happening, but you're forcing me to do this under these circumstances. It's an awful look. And I don't know why they just don't say, okay, either the trade's been made, put on your hat, and, you know, for the team for which you're going to be playing, And stop the charade. It's embarrassing.
It's also dumb when you go on the stands and whoever team drafts, and then they're like, yeah, that's the guy I wanted. And they're like, no, maybe you didn't hear. He's actually been traded already.
Yeah. Again, the NBA does a great job of promoting itself and promoting its players, but this is not one of those ways in which the NBA enhances its marketability.
Couple more questions for Steve Kroner of the Chronicle. Let's switch gears a little bit. The Tampa Bay Rays have been allowed permission to explore playing half their games in Quebec, and I would imagine it would have to be they'll get a foothold there and then just swing that other leg around at some point and stay there for good in Montreal, don't you think?
You know, this thing just seems so unwieldy and so unlikely that I'm hesitant to compromise on it. I am old enough, as the kids like to say, to remember when there was the Kansas City Omaha Kings, mm-hmm. who then became the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
But Kansas City and Omaha are quite a bit closer to each other than Montreal and the Tampa Bay St. Pete area. You know, my initial reaction is that Major League Baseball is doing it to push the Tampa Bay St. Pete politicians to get a stadium built there. That's my initial reaction. Could this thing feasibly happen? I guess, but I think unless they became Montreal, I think you'd be alienating two markets. The Tampa Bay market, which obviously doesn't draw particularly well now. Just think how if you're a Tampa Bay fan, how upset you'd be if half the games are in Montreal. And Montreal, if you're not getting a legitimate franchise, I don't know how much that would pull there either. It just seems, for want of a better term, ridiculous.
I'm calling it sports bigamy.
Okay, yeah. I'll let you do that.
All right. Hard Knocks with the Raiders to me, and I'm a lifelong Raider fan. This is a dream come true. I can't believe any Raider fan tells me that it's going to be a distraction. It's a distraction of a team that wins three or four games every year. Like, how could it get any worse? I have zero faith in the brain trust of the like, I have all the trust in the world with the Warriors. I have zero brain trust with the Raiders. I think they're completely rudderless. We'll see if Mayock helps. I hope he does. But the intrigue last year in Oakland, up there in the wine country, you got Burfict and Brown and just all the storylines. Gruden is worth, I mean, he's a caricature of himself every time he talks and waves his hands around, the histrionics. This to me is going to be the ultimate Hard Knocks.
Yeah, and, you know, 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, I could see people saying it's going to be a distraction. But look, in the day and age in which we live now, there are cell phones everywhere. These guys have been in front of cameras, in front of microphones, almost their entire lives. It's not as if, you know, all of a sudden they have to be, you know, on their guard because there are cameras there. And the other thing, too, you know, the HBO folks have done this for a long time. They are going to look to get good footage, no question. But they're also not going to embarrass people. If there's something that's really embarrassing, you got to know that they have, you know, the NFL's back, so to speak, that they're not going to completely embarrass a coach or a player. So the fact, I don't think in this day and age having the cameras in your camp is any kind of distraction, although I'm sure Al Davis, looking from on high, is not particularly pleased about it, but that's another story.
Talking about the Niners, you have a healthy Jimmy G. You have some weapons for him. It's a tough division, as we know, but a lot of people thinking that the Niners can be a playoff team. I don't. I don't think this is a playoff year for them, but obviously they're gonna do better than last year. So do you think Jed has the patience to realize it's still going to take a few more years, or do you think he's sick of waiting around and heads might roll?
I don't think heads will roll. I would think that they're smart enough to realize, particularly, I mean, we think Garoppolo's healthy, but until he gets on the field, not even in an exhibition game, but in the first regular season game in September and is playing well, then, you know, maybe you can say, you know, we should have this record or we should have that record. But until then, it's still kind of a crapshoot. And, you know, as far down as the team was when John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan took their respective roles, I think even year three, you'd like to see some improvement, obviously, but I don't think it's a quote-unquote make-or-break year. Maybe year four would be. Maybe, you know, 2020, if you don't see market improvement in the record, then maybe people would be a little gun-shy about their jobs. I can't believe that in year three, considering the injuries they've endured, that management would be that quick to get rid of a regime that, you know, obviously hasn't had the results yet, but seemingly is on the right track.
Talking about the Giants now, as we jump around with Steve Kroner here from the Chronicle, Rick Tittle with you, 95.7 The Game.
Isn't that the Wisconsin thing, is jump around?
Is that their thing? I thought they were on Wisconsin, on Wisconsin.
Right, but then I think in the between the third and fourth quarters of football games, they do jump around.
Oh.
I'm wrong, but I believe that's the shtick for Wisconsin football.
And anyway. Fourth quarter, I think, is insane in the membrane, right?
No.
I don't know.
If you say so.
Okay. The Giants were waiting for the Bumgarner shoe to drop, and it would be, of course, ludicrous to hold on to him. They're going to move him one way or another. And for the first time ever, none of this the whole team got waived and then got pulled back and then someone put in a claim. Those days are over. We get one trading deadline at the end of next month.
Which I think is good.
Yeah, well, it's going to create a lot more drama. So how do you think that whole thing is going to go down with Mad Bum?
You know, I don't think it's an absolute deadlock since he's going to be traded, but if somebody said, do you think he'll be traded? I'd say yes. I think there's two thoughts to this. One is you trade him as early as possible because you can get more value because the team will have him that much longer. But my opinion, for what it's worth, is I would wait till the latest you can, because then I think you get more buyers and you get buyers who are more convinced. You know, in the middle of June, you're not necessarily sure that you're going to be a contender or not. Close to the end of July, you know if you are or not. And, you know, if he's the guy who's going, you know he's the guy who's going to make you that much better, particularly in October, then I think you're willing to part with one of your top prospects or two of your top prospects to get Bumgarner, where maybe at this point you still might not be.
The A's, I did my little predictions before the season, and I said they'd go 81-81. I didn't see them as a playoff team, and then here they were just breaking out of that and going about three over, and they learned that their very surprising ace, Frankie Montas, is going to miss basically the rest of the season with an 80-game suspension. Now, I know there's hope if Lusardo is ready or maybe Puck is ready, but how backbreaking is this suspension for Oakland?
I think it's pretty bad. It's there's no way around it. I mean, he's been nails for all, the entire season. Even at the beginning of the season when he wasn't pitching well, he seemingly had learned to be a pitcher when you don't have your best stuff and you're still able to succeed. You know, Fires has been better than the average starter, no question. Brett Anderson has been pretty darn good. But after that, the rotation, you know, is somewhat thin. And you take out a guy who was 9-2, who had an ERA under 3, and yeah, maybe Luzardo is ready. Maybe Puck is ready. I don't think Jarrell Cotton is going to be ready this season. It's just my opinion. He comes back from a major injury and then has hamstring problem. I think it's hard for me to see how the A's can stay in contention without an anchor at the number one spot in the rotation, and right now they don't have one.
The other thing is, too, I mean, Jarrell Cotton is a good kid, but Jarrell Cotton's ERA in the bigs is 5, you know, for his career. He's no roadmap to success.
I would agree with that as well. Yeah. Again, I'm just thinking, you know, the A's have been banking on some of these guys coming back, and even they say, too, that, you know, I believe with Puck that they're unlikely to use him as a starter, that they, you know, they could get 2 or 3 innings out of him a game when you're coming back from, I believe, TJ surgery. You know, you're not going to expect him to go 7 every night, which you were getting from Montas. And I mean, it's a ripple effect, too. If you don't have Montas going 7-8 innings every fifth day, that gets into your bullpen. And the bullpen, which was such a strength for the A's last season, and it's not a strength this season. If you've got to use the bullpen for 3 or 4 more innings every 5 days, that just depletes the bullpen, which right now, again, is not the strength that it was.
Yeah, they had to get rid of Rodney. Trevino right now is garbage, and Trinan, his ERA is over 4. It's you're definitely right. One more question for you, and I love covering the gamut because you can handle it. The NHL is going to propose some rule changes. Obviously, a lot of them had to do with the Sharks and the playoffs, the reviewing whether a minor can turn into a 5-minute major, a hand pass. If you don't see it, you're not allowed to catch it on a replay. All these things are going to be changed, and I kind of thought they were coming. But the reason I bring this up is because it was actually proposed that they'll get rid of offsides altogether. And that one came out of nowhere. I'm like, whoa, that would completely change the game. I'm fine with everybody having to have the puck in there before they, you know, cross the blue line, at least to touch it. I mean, wouldn't you just have people standing in the crease and bucket hanging if there was no offsides?
Rick, in this era of full disclosure, I have to admit I am not any kind of hockey expert. Mm-hmm. I do know what offsides is, and it does seem to me that a rule that's been in place for time immemorial, to change that, to be so drastic, I can't believe that would happen. But again, I am not a hockey guy, so I will deign to you on that one.
All right, then one last question. The juiced ball in Major League Baseball, everyone's hitting home runs in droves. Do you like it? Do you not like it?
I'm a guy who was not a very good hitter going through my mediocre high school career, but I could bunt every now and then. And I know the bunt is considered taboo for most baseball teams. I miss that kind of baseball, to be honest. Home runs are great, and I love a 12-10 game. But there are too many games in which guys strike out way more than they used to. They hit more home runs than they used to. But I think, you know, the three true outcomes is not the most exciting baseball. I'd rather see doubles in the gap and triples in the gap and an occasional bunt for sacrifice and an occasional bunt for a base hit. So if the ball is more juiced than it was, that's fine, but I'd rather see baseball played the way it was 15, 20 years ago than the way it's being played right now.
So chicks love the long ball. Steves love the sack bunt.
I think that's it. I couldn't put it any better, Rick.
All right, there he is, our friend Steve Kroner. Read him in the Chronicle, sfgate.com. On Twitter, Steve Kroner, SF. Steve, always good talking to you, man. Good luck if you golf tomorrow, and we'll talk to you soon.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Rick.
All right, thank you. Steve Kroner, who co-hosted a show with me here one time, tried his hand in radio. This was 95.7 around 2011, 2012, somewhere in there. All right, the lines are open at 888-957-9570 as we kind of ran the gamut there, and we'll do that with Marco Banyas himself at 420, coming up at 320. Chris Trapasso, an NFL writer for CBS Sports. Let's get to that Chilton on a body text line. 415 says he would have preferred if the Warriors drafted Keldon Johnson. Another said KZ Okpala. You know what? I saw KZ Okpala play one game, okay? And I thought that he got pushed around like he was pretty weak. I mentioned that to somebody, and they go, oh, that must have been a bad game. But that had an effect on me. And now that's also stupid because I remember hearing the A scout went to see Mike Trout and he had the flu and he tapped out to the mound twice and he's like, ah, he's nothing. You can't judge somebody by one game. So I wasn't real excited about Okpala, to tell you the truth, just because I saw him get pushed around. Now, these guys are so young. I mean, you think about it, it's like in World War II when a guy was 25, he was called Gramps. You know, because that was really old. It's kind of that way in the NBA draft. I mean, you think about Gramps Pascal, 22 years old. Ugh, get your AARP magazine. Let's go to Dan out in Concord. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Rick. Long time, man. How you been?
What's up, my man? How are the diamonds?
All right. Hey, but check this out. I want to ask you something about Kevin Durant. Hmm? I get tired of hearing people like Bucher and all these other clowns that say, oh, I got inside information, he's leaving. They haven't talked to nobody at Kevin Durant's camp. They're just throwing stuff off the wall, man, like the Nets. You really think he wants to leave the Warriors to go to the Nets, that cesspool, or the Knicks, that other cesspool? I mean, when you come right here to the Chase Center, you get the most money, over 57 more million than anybody else, but you're going to leave all this to go play with that on the East Coast? Come on, Rick. I'm tired of hearing Bucher especially say, oh, I got inside information. He doesn't know nobody, man. Nobody's telling him nothing. He's making stuff up and just throwing it against the wall. And you know it, and I know it. I'll stay out there, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Dan. I appreciate it. I saw Buke at the Coliseum during the finals. He was part of our team here for a while over there. And we do have some sound of Bucher on Kevin Durant. Let's listen to it.
What I've heard through various places is that he's not really happy with how things went down because of the injury. That there's an element of, was I misled as far as injuring myself coming back and playing and having a catastrophic injury like this coming off of the calf strain?
All right, that was Rick Bucher, Johnny on the spot on the other side of the glass. That's from the Jason Smith Show, by the way. Look, I know Buke. We're not best friends, but Buke and I, we worked here at this station for many years. I saw him at the finals. Dan, I don't think he's making it up. I think what he's doing is someone's talking to him. Now, they might be talking, as they say, out of school. A lot of these things are just rumors. A lot of them are created by agents to create a ruse, to get a snowball, to have a smoke and mirrors, to create a front, a facade, whatever it is. You know, get influences going one way or the other. But I highly doubt, Dan, and you and I go way back, I highly doubt that Rick Bucher pulled that out of his behind and made it up. Somebody told him that. And I know you said that the Nets and the Knicks are a cesspool. Remember, Ichiro said San Francisco is a cesspool. Now, he didn't say it in so many words, but he was a free agent. I remember the All-Star game here, and it was the first time ever I got to root for Ichiro as an A's fan because I'm an AL guy. And he hit an inside the park home run. Dan Heron of the A's started that game, by the way, against Ben Sheets of the Milwaukee Brewers. The AL won that game, and then they said, hey, you're going to be a free agent. How about signing for San Francisco? And he said San Francisco is too dirty. And, you know, if he was just staying downtown at a hotel, of course that's what he's going to think. So I don't think the Nets and the Knicks are a cesspool, but I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate the call. 888-957-9570. This next segment is all calls and all texts, so get in. 888. Everybody who calls gets in. Even me, not you. 888-957-9570. Chilton, auto body, text line 95795. Rick Tittle, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's Rick Tittle.
The best tandem still today, I thought, was Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas. I think Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen can guard anybody. He's 6'9". He can guard anybody. Late to length. It's Kevin Durant, you'll have a hard time with Scottie Pippen. And I don't know who will guard Michael Jordan on the Warriors. Literally, who? I mean, literally, who?
What three dudes?
Except for, put it like this. I would handle. I got no problem handling that guy, Green guy. And he'll be eating out of my hands.
Draymond Green.
Draymond
thinks he's the best defender ever.
No. That's, Draymond, keep getting your teeth straight, honey. And listen to your mama. Okay? You know, this is Dr. D. Ross calling right now, baby. You want some prescription? Come ask me.
Dennis, you do respect Draymond as a defender, do you not?
Absolutely. He's a great defender, man.
He'd be eating out of his hands.
He'd be eating out of my hands, but Draymond must have took a page out of my book back in the day.
All right, just for fun, a little worm there. Dennis Rodman on First Take on ESPN talking about the old Bulls versus Warriors stuff. And that's, to me, that's just for entertainment. That's fun. If that, like, makes you angry, I think that it's... It shouldn't make you angry because those teams could never play each other. It's just an opinion one way or another. And Dennis Rodman is always fun. And my syndicated show, when the comedians come through the Punchline or Cobbs, I have the headliners in. And I've been lucky enough over the years to have Tom Green in several times. Tom Green was on Celebrity Apprentice. And one time he talked to me about Trump screaming and yelling at him and firing him because he went out and got drunk in Manhattan with Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman went to go to North Korea and hang out, remember, over there as well. It's just for fun, that little quote right there. And but, you know, as I said, it's the worm, and people will probably get all bent out of shape. And as I said, it's just entertainment, right? Maybe not. 888-957-9570. Chilton Autobody text line, 95795. Let's go to the one and the only down in Pally, the priest. What's up, my man?
What's up, brother? How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing well. What you got?
Listen, man. I saw that about Dennis Rodman. He says that Scotty could guard Kevin Durant. I guarantee Scotty could not handle Kevin Durant. And I guarantee you, Kevin Durant could guard Scotty Pippen. They need to stop it. I know these guys want to, you know, hold up their eras and their player. I give you Michael would have, you know, would give Klay Thompson problems. But Klay Thompson is no slouch. I've seen him guard. I saw him guard Kawhi Leonard. I've seen him guard great players. I'm not saying he's going to shut Michael down. Nothing like that. But I'm telling you, Michael would have to guard Klay Thompson. And if he didn't, he would pay dearly for it.
All right, Priest. What happened? He hung up? You didn't cut him off, did you? I was going to say, Joe, I didn't want to get into it. I wanted Priest, just call back. I guess he doesn't know that you're great standing in Bay Area radio. I was just going to say, get to your point, because I didn't want to spend 5 minutes talking about who could guard who. I mean, you made some good points, obviously. All right, let's... Priest, call me back. Sorry, my engineer thought I was cutting you off. Joe, if I do this across the neck, yeah, that would be the cutoff sign. All right, lines are open at 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line is 95795. Rick, Warriors should get LaMelo Ball. I'm okay with that one. Is Bol Bol related to Manute? Yes, it's his son, and he looks exactly like him, but I guess it's worth asking. Rick, what do you think about statistically Hard Knocks does improve the team's record? I didn't know that. I know what it does improve, though, and it improves interest in the team. The team that's on Hard Knocks always gets a lot more interest because we get to know these guys. You know, we found out where J.J. Watt takes his naps when it was the Texans. We found out in Cleveland that Jarvis Landry says, bless him. We got to see what just giant, creepy jackasses a lot of these head coaches were. I remember that special teams coach for the Chiefs, that old guy. Is there any more evil person on the face of the earth that wasn't a war criminal? I mean, that guy was just pure living scumbag. But this is what's so great about it. It's through HBO, but it's actually NFL Films. They're the ones that do it, and they do an outstanding job. All right, that might be Priest calling me back. It's not Priest? Oh. I don't want Priest to think I hung up on him now. Get his ass. I'm so sick of hearing that, dude. Priest, once again, I did not cut you off. 1-800-878-PLAY. All right. For those who heard me the other day when people were asking me, who do I want the Warriors to draft at 28? My guy was Lugansz Dort. And I know, Gesundheit. This is, I think, only the third time in the history of Arizona State that they had a top 50 prospect go to Arizona State. It was James Harden and somebody else. Coming out of Canada. And well, we'll get to that in a second. Priest, my man had a my man cut you off, man. I was just trying to tell you to get to your point of the day. Thanks for calling me back. What you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the kids, the draft picks, Jordan Poole.
Okay.
They're comparing him a lot to Swaggy P. You know what I see when I see this kid play? And that not saying he's going to be Steph Curry, but that's who I keep seeing. He's a little more athletic, bigger, a little more physical, but he's got a lot of growing up to do, a lot of growing physically to do. But this kid has sweat. Who shows off more than Steph Curry? And so it just, I like this kid. I do. Also, the kid out in Santa Cruz, have you seen him play, Rick, at all?
Not in person, but the Warriors love him.
I love it. I've seen him play 6 or 7 times. I watch a lot of Santa Cruz Warriors. This kid, I'm just telling you, Rick, he's got a little bit of Luka Doncic in him.
Hmm.
That's who I compared him to when I first saw him. Now he's not as polished as Luka, but I'm at 6'10". This kid can get it, man. And he's not scared. I like this draft. I really, really do. Now, I'm not saying it's going to pay off immediately, but don't sleep on that kid, Eric Pascoe, either. I haven't seen him play. I'm just hearing things about him that are very positive. But
you got to be the only guy that has seen more Smailagic than Pascoe. I love that, though. The other thing to keep in mind that a lot of people don't know was that last year, Smailagic was the youngest player in the history of the developmental league. So he came in right after his 17th birthday and started balling.
He would get on the court, and I was wondering early on when they first started playing him why he didn't play more, because he was clearly at times one of the best players on the court. But I heard weeks into it that the reason why they were doing it, and it made total sense to me, because this kid can go, Rick. I'm telling you, I love the Warriors draft. I love it. It's basically because of Smolikis. He is at 6'10", this kid can put the ball on the court. He can put it down, get to the hole. He can defend, and he's fearless, man. Dunks. I mean, two-hand dunks, one-hand dunks, fadeaway threes. I'm telling you, when you see him, you're going to be very surprised.
And then Pascal is like basically coming out of college anyway. He's Draymond Green with a better jump shot. So, I mean, and he's a lockdown defender, too.
Well, the guy that I would compare him to is the kid who played for the Denver Nuggets, the veteran.
Oh, Millsap?
Millsap.
Yeah.
That's who. He's a bigger, more physical version of Millsap. The kid can put the ball on the court. Rick, these kids can play. All of them have full-fledged offensive games from the three in. They can all get the mid-range, get to the bucket. They can all shoot the three. It's blatantly obvious why they drafted these kids. We got exposed. Let's be honest. We got exposed in the finals. We cannot put three guys at one time on the court that can't shoot. And oftentimes, that's what we had on the court against Toronto.
Well, that's because we went all in top-heavy with the stars. And if one of those stars gets hurt, the cupboard is pretty bare. Anyway, I got another call. Priest, as always, man, thanks for your time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.